This is Judith Conrad Radio, presenting extraordinary visionary experts in health, wealth, business, and manifesting your dreams come true. And now, here's your host, Judith Conrad, starting your day with the good news.
Well, hello there. Yes, I always like to hear that it is the good news. Lots of things going on out here in the weather. Solar flares, sun flares, all of these things are changing our magnetic energy, it seems. And I've had more people calling in crisis. What's going on? And the same answer seems to be coming up. Hello, you're in the chrysalis. You are the caterpillar moving into the butterfly. And there's something that you hadn't expected, which will be coming along your way. I'm in it too. And it's interesting because I've been pretty definite about what I do. And I just had that feeling. And a couple of my astrologer friends have said, yeah, you got something pretty big coming in a little bit later. Not right away in the January, February, maybe March. But you know, you can fight it all you want, but you just really need to take the time to go inside to find out what is going on. And when one is in a fog, which many of the clients that come to me are, it is interesting. I'm in the fog and I'm able to assist them to just let go and be in this place of not knowing, but to get ready. And one lady that I just worked with in San Francisco, in such fear of being let go, and money a crisis, and self-esteem a crisis, and everything. So Spirit said, just get her established with a resume. And so we went through the whole process of identifying her strengths, her weaknesses, what she really wants to do. And she said, but I really want to stay right where I'm at. I said, well, you can do that. She said, well, why do I need a resume? Because it's the self-esteem thing that you need to know exactly what you have to offer to that company. And that's with anything. It's to look at the pluses and minuses, the strengths, the weaknesses, and what you really don't want to do, what you really want to do, and just kind of itemize those things. You see, I like to do the analytical. I like to do that left brain, let's write down our purpose for any project. I like to then, once I know the project, then I want to put down some goals, and then from there I'm going to move into the action steps that would lead me to it, and then at that point, then we're scheduling and moving forward. So it's a real process that I've been going through and helping a lot of my clients with. And until, if we are at this standstill, which many are, because of the all of a sudden not knowing, it's an opportunity to see what the lesson is in every single thing that goes on. It's like you are a high witness to everything. When you're lost in a forest, boy, do you listen. I mean, you can't know which way is out of that forest. And the ground isn't indicating paths. And if there are paths, there are several paths going this way and that way. You don't have a compass. You must trust that inner knowing. When I went to Germany, and I had the map, of course, and I was driving by myself, and I would get ready to come into a town, and I would stop, and I would look at the streets, so I had them pretty well in mind. But then when I got into the town, and, ooh, do I go right? Do I go left? And so I had to just, okay, Spirit, tell me, do I go right or do I go left or do I go straight ahead? And every single time I would get the message of which direction to go in. Very nice tool to have. And that happens here many times when you are moving through your life. Okay, do I let go of this job to take this job? Do I stay right where I'm at? My guidance is I'm to stay right where I'm at, not to do anything, just to do this fine-tuning, go back through everything that I'm doing, and see what's up. And that's whenever I'm going through things like this, it's a pretty good indication of what's up for the next set of clients. And many of the clients that are coming to me, their year, numerology, and then I put it into the tarot and I use the Crowley deck. Many people are in the 12, which is the Hanged Man. They're hanging upside down. They're trying to, they're being asked to let go of the grid work of the old. Because spirit in 2012 has a place where we can be of the highest service. And if those of us who are awake know that this is in progress, and the people who are in the 12, the Hanged Man year, are being asked to let go of old relationships, old ways of thinking. And then, of course, those coming into the 13 year, which is the Death card. Many people are afraid of that card. Well, I was in it last year, and many said, how can you exist knowing that you're in a 13 year? I said, well, when I was in a 13 year, the last time, last cycle around, I moved from the Bay Area, a huge move. I mean, it was a huge, the largest move I've ever made, because I've been in the San Francisco Bay Area forever and ever. So in the 13 year, there was a shedding of many attitudes, and I didn't move until I came into the 14 year. But it was so close, because November 17th is close to that 14. And I moved, actually, yes, I was in the 14, but I moved on the Christmas. So it was very close, you know. What can I say? What can I say? Well, let's get the reading for today. I love to do this, and this is one of the ways that I really get to center and go inside to find out information that Spirit has for me and also for others. When I'm consulting an oracle, such as the Tarot, I say that the Tarot is one of the most mystical oracles that I've ever experienced. I've worked a little bit on astrology. I'm not an astrologer. That's why I have an astrologer coming on later on the program, Mark Dodig, and we're going to have a great time talking about, maybe Tarot and astrology, one of my favorite topics. So when you consult the Tarot, you're asking for information, and depending on your level of expertise with the Tarot or any divination, it will be revealed what is the next step or what is it to do in the now. If you're concerned with the past, usually there's depression going on there. If you're concerned about the future, there's frustration of not having it already. Staying in the now, especially when you're working with the cards, handling them with great reverence and asking to be shown what is the most important thing that I could learn today. So here goes your, and this is for you. I think of you when I'm doing it. First of all, I always like people to play the game. So first of all, we're going to think of a number between 1 and 4, including my guest who's listening in. Between 1 and 4, and because I know what the cards are, I'm going to ask my guest to think of a number for me. So he's thinking of a number, and he's thinking of a number for me. It could be 1, the first card, second card, third card, or fourth card. It is always perfect. And if you want to throw out a question about what, give me information about. Give me information about my life path. Give me information about my new relationship. Give me information about a trip I'm going to take. So this is what I call a fun thing to do. The first card. Let's see. Did you pick number 1? Did you pick number 2 or number 3 or number 4? Card number 1 is the 3 of Discs, works. Give it the works, and it is Mars in Capricorn. Okay, so discs are on the physical plane, from the spiritual, the mental, the emotional, and the physical. So this is at the fourth stage. The 3 of Discs says, give it the works, and be open to view the internal workings, the works. What's going on inside? What is lighting your world, or what is lighting the darkness? Because if there's darkness, you're in the fog, you're in the forest, and you can't see out, I don't know where. At this point in time, you're struck by the physical mire that doesn't allow you to rise above and get clarity. There's stuff that's holding you back, which could be old belief systems. One that I'm very good, because I have a north node in Libra, I kind of resist being in community. But Aries South Node, yeah, I'll do it by myself every time. And with this, it's saying what is holding me back could be the fact that I have to do it by myself and not to participate in community. So that was my first aha when I saw the card. You see, I've seen these cards 100 times before, but each time something new pops in. So whatever is holding you back, here's the solution. There is a pyramid in the center, and it is opening at the top, three-sided pyramid, because it is the three of discs. And it's light lit from within. And what I see there with that for each and every one of you and for me is that there's an enlightenment of something about your path. And at the end of each of the pyramid points are wheels. There's a wheel at each one, red wheels, ready to turn with your body, mind, and spirit. So when you can come clear about what it is the works mean to you, to give it the works to your life and to your quest, the opening of the pyramid will levitate the progress of that pyramid to manifestation. It requires that you go inside and find what is the enlightenment here. What is the gift that I have to offer? And, of course, Mars is energy in Capricorn, which is the foundation. What is that knowledge that I need to know, that scientific part, analytical part? Card number two, the Star. And the Star is one of my favorite cards because of the colors and because I was born on the 17th. Well, interesting, when we bring in our guest, his numerology is a 17. So 17, which adds up to an 8. So the 17, the Star card, is Aquarius. Anyone born with this numerology, with a 17, is about new, innovative, it hasn't been created before. I mean, you get the idea. It's not like Aries where it's pioneering. I think Aquarius is more like, well, they say the new age. So this is showing a figure reaching up into the universe. And it's a cosmic inspiration of the highest nature. I mean, this is it. You're reaching higher to make manifest the spirit, spiritual, and bring it down into the physical. The Aquarius is the water bearer, and it is represented by Nuith, and Nuith is about revealing the artistic, the spiritual, the psychic, to be of higher service. Once this inspiration is given by Nuith, it is translated to the physical plane for all others to receive their own inspiration. So the Star, if you're born on the 17th or your numerology adds up to 17, then this is for you also. The third card is the Princess of Wands, Mastery. This is like the royal cards. There are 16 of these cards, 4 for each of the suits. It's an Aries card. Love Aries here. It's the Princess of Wands, spiritual. She's throwing a fear tiger over her shoulder. She has recognized her fears and has mastered them. She's thrown them upon the funeral pyre. She's indicating she's now ready to move forward with total clarity, new beginnings, and higher intuitive perception. Going into that depths, going into the chrysalis where the caterpillar enters into you, the caterpillar, enter into the chrysalis. You're ready to be transmuted into something of a higher form, whether it's butterfly or your cosmic work. I think it's pretty awesome. So Aries, remember I said that Aquarius is like new, innovative. Well, Aries for me represents the pioneer, the first one in the wagon train going across the country, the first one wants to go to Mars, go to the moon, wants to create new pathways across, like Lewis and Clark, anything where you're bringing in new systems. Well, I don't know. Our astrologer is going to clarify that for us. The last card, number four card, is the Queen of Discs. Again, a master card. The Queen is, she's sitting in her throne of luxury. Opulence, total opulence. And she's looking back at the past, acknowledging the barren past, how, yeah, it was good, it was okay, any self-sabotage, undoings, errors, and how they've led to the supreme transformation of the Queen. Whatever has happened that's holding you in a holding pattern, it is so perfect right now. So on her earthly throne of opulence, she's taking time to reflect upon the circuitous route that she has taken in the past. It's time to take care of the body also because it is the temple of the soul. So Aries indicates, though, that new beginnings and is in Capricorn. Here we have Aries. This is the second time it's come up. And for Capricorn, that is the second time it's come up. First with Mars in Capricorn, now with Aries and Capricorn. Solid. And so start with new beginnings after going within, integrating what you're getting from the higher, from the cosmos, and then moving forward in a, to get rid of the fear, to get ready to go, because it's going to be bigger than you imagined, and then you get ready to move. And it gives you a strong foundation so that others will know exactly what you're doing and what you're about, and you become then the magnet of credibility. Because if people don't understand what you do, it's very difficult for them to enroll in what you're about. Well, with that, I think we're pretty well. I've completed my part. I want to now invite Mark to be brought in. So, Doug, you can bring in Mark, and we will talk to him. All right. I am ready for Mark. Hi, Mark. Ready for you. Hello. All right. Just about ready, guess. And by the way, you can call in anytime you're ready. He's almost here. All right. We're going to get a little intro from Mark, and then we're going to open up the lines, and you could call in. And as I put out on the Facebook, you can call in with your month, your day, and your year, and both of us will bring forth some information. Are you online with us, Mark?
I am.
All right. Well, welcome to the program.
Thanks for the invite.
You bet. Well, we have an awful lot in common as I've been looking through all of the your website, and I got real excited when I saw the solar rays, and you're involved with a mystery school, and I saw at the very last moment that you're also involved with the Tarot.
And I use the Crowley deck as one of my primary decks.
So we definitely have a lot in common.
Yep.
Did you hear the reading that I gave?
I did indeed.
And so what number did you pick?
I picked the number one, your three of discs.
All right. Well, now give us your take, because you're familiar with this deck also.
Well, I am, and I thought it was interesting because I've just gone through about a 2-week, things were really slow, which gave me the opportunity to, shall we say, clean my office for a while, and now things are picking up, and here, you know, I choose the one that is the get to work, get off your backside, and get moving card.
I love it. Which one did you pick for me?
The number three.
Number three, which is
Princess.
Yeah, the Princess of Wands. So what is your take on that particular card?
Well, you know, I love that card. And for people who know the Crowley deck, of course, that's just this burst of energy. And I just love that feeling that, oh, here is this freshness or newness. Because I look at princesses as being kind of this youthful energy that is just bursting forth. And, of course, wands I look as kind of spirituality, business, creativity. You know, it's a fire element. So it's like, boom, here's this rush. And, of course, here you are with your rush of enthusiasm seems to fit it very well.
Yes, and I am in the fog right now, and I'm being okay with that and just looking at all the things that – it's kind of like you cleaned your office. I'm cleaning my mind and the cobwebs off of what I – what my coaching looks like at a deeper level. So that's kind of nice.
Absolutely.
Well, when I added your numbers up, I always love to start with a numerology, and it added up to a 17.
And that's the star, right?
It is the star, and that was our number two card. And go ahead.
I'm sorry, I was just going to laugh a little bit because I'm basically this very hermit monk type of person, and yet out in the community, I get teased a lot because they call me Mark's the rock star of astrology, just because I'm kind of more well-known here, where a lot of people know my name and things like that, and I go out and put on these lectures, and it's just amusing to me that people look at me like this rock star, and I'm a hermit at heart.
Well, the 17 is definitely out there and reaching higher and connected with the cosmos. So, and of course, in the second part of your numerology is the number 8, which is the number 8, which is adjustment, and I call that card take a stand.
Well, you know, I'm a double Libra, so that's kind of a justice kind of card. And and actually, if you add up the numerology of my birth date, it's an 8.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. And I always go with the Tarot and Angelus Arian that we, for that year, you're a 12 when you came in 2011. And
yes.
Then, you come in to, of course, later in the year, you always take the 2011, then you go for 2012. You're coming into the 13 year.
I have different philosophies on that. Do you have a clarification for me?
Sure. According to Angelus Arian, when you're doing the numerology for the birth, especially the year, not so much for the life purpose number, but for the year, you continue on because there's a cycle that gets established. You don't add the 12 down to a 3. You just hold the 12 hanged man. And so during that year, that's the hanged man, and that's any astrology associated with that. That year, that goes through that year. Now, when you come into the 2012 year, in the 13, which is the death card, but of course you always have that 4, which is the emperor cards. But I see that people, and I said many people are coming into the 13, and they just they look at the card and they go, "Whoa, I don't want that one." But it's such a good card. And a good energy of letting go at the right down to that skeleton. You're cutting away.
You know, I do a form of numerology, which is kind of, we'll call it kind of a Hebrew Kabbalah form rather than a normal form that associates the number 13 with Sananda, the higher vibration of Jesus.
Yes.
And saying it's a very feminine vibration of the what we'll call the Jesus vibration.
Nice. Very nice. That's the esoteric.
Yeah, and it's just interesting to see because we've got all these different systems out there in metaphysics, and yet they seem to dovetail together, kind of like the old example of many facets to one gem.
Yes, I like that very much. Very much so. Yes, okay, well, thank you very much for that. And so I'm in a 14 year, and which could be a 5, and I'm just loving it, loving it, loving it.
Excellent.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go into. Give me a little more background. I read about that one student who from high school was doing a project, and he asked you some of the best questions. Why did you get involved with astrology?
The joke in astrology is that you don't pick it, it picks you. when you go to these conferences.
Yes.
And I grew up in, you know, in a family where my mother was always going to psychics, and I thought she was crazy. And when I got older, I found out that my grandmother would have dreams, and then she would tell my grandfather what was going to happen, and it would happen. Of course, that was never communicated to the kids because our religion didn't really allow that sort of thing.
Right, right.
And so I was around it, but when I got to college, I started studying some of these African tribes that, like, knew you were coming before you, you know, telephones.
Yes.
And I thought, gee, if I can study this in college, all the metaphysical things, then there must be some validity to it. So I had to come in from kind of the intellectual, it's okay kind of a level. And then I knew some of my college friends, you know, it was kind of the joke is it's here I was a college guy wanting to get closer to college girls, and they were into astrology. So I started studying astrology so I could hang out with them. And of course, the girls went away when we all graduated, but the astrology stayed.
And I liked what you said, pay attention of that which attracts you. And it comes and takes possession of you. That's what intuition did. When I started studying, I said, oh my gosh, I can't do this. This is just against the grain, my upbringing. No. But it was something I could not stop. I love it.
And, you know, some things come naturally, like the astrology came naturally. I was doing tarot card readings before I knew what the cards meant. But then I've tried to take some palmistry classes, and to this day I can still look at a palm and not see anything but a bunch of lines. So we all have talents in different areas, and I think that our talents call us, and that's true of everybody.
I think so, too. And I think right now, in this 2012, a lot of people are in this gerbil cage, and they're going round and around, and they're saying there has to be something more.
Yeah, and part of it, just to do the astrology, the planet Neptune moved into Pisces, which hasn't been around for 165 years. And you were talking earlier about that feeling of dazed and confused walking through the fog. Well, part of it's because this energy that's new on the planet as of February 3rd, Neptune and Pisces both rule psychics. They rule going beyond the veils of this world into whatever is beyond this place. And it makes many people feel uncomfortable because it's a very ungrounded place. And yet the beauty is we get this chance to create a new reality. And the thing is sometimes you have to walk through a dazed and confused place when old paradigms don't work anymore. And yet there's this new thing being birthed, but you can't see it because it's in this big old, I call it a Pacific Northwest fog bank, that sometimes it brings up what we'll call your trust issues, that you have to trust that there's something out there calling you, and that that you have to trust yourself to take action on your intuitive knowing to go to that place without a guarantee or without a roadmap or a blueprint.
And with astrology, of course, I use the tarot cards, and I'll go with the astrology with the cards. But with astrology, for those people listening out there, I've got a couple people specifically that I asked to listen in. Can you take their astrology and move them out of the fog, or will it just show you stay where you're at or move or do what?
Kind of like Dorothy clicks her heels and gets to go where she needs to go.
Yes.
Gee, I truly wish it were that easy. But, you know, what I will say is the better a person has done at working on, shall we say, working through their life issues,
yes,
the easier it is. And that for people who have been ignoring doing the things that they know they need to do on a soul level, that, you know, they're going to have to maybe move through a little gunk to get to the better part.
Uh-huh.
So, but my feeling is we're all going there because we're just, not even 6 weeks into this new energy that's going to be with us for the next 14 years. I like to tell people it's a little unrealistic to know exactly what it's going to be when you're only 6 weeks into a 14-year plan.
Yeah. And that's comforting for those people listening, I'm sure.
Well, and for me, it says, just as your work is, well, we need to to clear the clutter of our thinking too much mind and allow spirit to come in and help guide us as to where we need to be and what we need to do.
Exactly. And spirit is so prevalent. And one of the things, I'm just reading a book here that says imagination. If you can work the imagination, the imaginal realm, and let that be a strong energy with you, just imagining what could be, and then putting legs under it. And the imagination is what will bring the spirit to you. I mean, when I do channelings or the intuitive work, it feels like I'm making it up. It's coming from the imaginal realm, but I know that there are spirits or guides that are bringing information in.
Absolutely, and I like to tell people, and of course I'm lecturing myself when I say this, but I like to say that we need to play a little bit more because it opens up that child within or that more creative side. And, you know, if you're so blocked in thinking you know what the answer should be, it's hard for the answer to come in.
Right, exactly. Well, you're helping me a lot because, I know this on a certain level, and just knowing that every morning when I do those tarot cards and the writing, that's when I get such clarity, and then I go from there because it's only in the now that I can be worried about, or can not worried, but focusing on.
I joke with people that when I get out of my own way, the world seems to work so much better.
How do you get in your own way sometimes, Mark?
Well, you know, you get busy with all the things you think you have to do. And the truth is, I think as human beings, we make ourselves busier than we really need to be.
Yes.
And sometimes it's kind of like an artist. You know, you need to create some white space or some open space to see what truly needs to come in. And I know one of my big lessons is that it's not doing more stuff. It's doing what I do with a better heart connection, and doing it at a higher vibration is actually better than quantity is what I'm teaching myself.
Very good. And I have a suspicion that you probably don't have to read books. You just go inside and find it.
Well, I used to read books like a crazy person.
Yes.
But after a period of time, you've been to hundreds of workshops and read hundreds of books and all of that. At some point, you just stop and listen.
Good message for those out there listening. You can read the books. However, the most important thing right now is to go inside and to connect with spirit, connect with source, or whoever your higher power is. And you can also use the other tools, like Mark uses the tarot, Mark uses the astrology, and many, many other tools that you'll find on his website. So find your tool, find your connection with source, and start writing and journaling, automatic writing, whatever is going to help bring that information through.
Absolutely.
So what else is going on out there in the universe with the astrology?
Well, this is actually a very big time. There's two things going on. The one that's most current is one that a lot of people know about. We call it Mercury retrograde.
Yay!
Which, yes, oh boy, that's kind of, if things can get screwed up, they will.
You mean like my computer crashing?
Like your computer crashing, exactly. And I like to say that when Mercury's retrograde, it's God reminding us of who's the boss. And but Mercury turned retrograde on March 12th and is going to stay retrograde until April 4th. And the classic interpretation is that you need to pay attention to your communications, your scheduling. That can be when your computer or your car goes funny and does strange things. But there's also a positive interpretation of it. And that positive interpretation is, this is a good time to step back and do a behind-the-scenes plan. For example, I'm getting ready to teach some classes up at an astrology conference up in Seattle next month, and this is a great time for me to be preparing those classes behind the scenes to be bringing them out into the world. So, but when we think too much or when we're loose in our communications, I'll give you an example. I was at a previous Mercury retrograde. I was supposed to meet a friend at a restaurant, and she couldn't remember the name of it, but we knew the little area of Portland it was in, and it was a fruity-sounding Thai restaurant. Well, in my arrogance, I said, oh, yeah, that's papaya Thai. I know exactly where that is. And, of course, she went to mango Thai, and I went to papaya Thai, and we ended up eating separately. Because I was arrogant and didn't really pin her down to which fruity-sounding Thai restaurant it was.
And, again, there's that communication or lack thereof. And I always like to, during this time, is to take my brochures and tweak them or redo. Or it's like time of revisit, redo. And anything you can take in during that time. I remember on the radio in San Francisco, whenever the astrologer would call in and say, oh, Mercury retrograde, everyone goes, oh, no. You know, they had that negativity without seeing that, yeah, well, my computer needed to be rebooted, and that's all it needed. And so everything got taken care of. I was a weekend without it, and I lived and survived.
Yeah. Boy, we can survive without computers. What a thought. But, you know, there's a second thing going on that's adding a little fuel to the fire. And I don't know, some people may have experienced some anger or anxiety issues here recently. But between January 23rd and this coming April 13th, the planet Mars is retrograde. And Mars is only goes retrograde every couple of years, so it's significant when something that doesn't happen very often happens. And it's retrograde in the sign Virgo. And Virgo rules cleansing and purification. So I've been telling everybody whether it's to cleanse and purify their body, or whether, in my case, I've been cleansing my office and my garage and taking big old bags down to Goodwill of my clutter.
Very good.
So that's a good thing to do. And as you used or alluded to was the RE words, revise, review, retreat, redo, reassess, all good things to do when a planet's retrograde.
Excellent, excellent. Well, one of the things I know when you were talking about taking things to Goodwill, I just am associating myself with Next Step Recycling that takes electronics. And they bring in students or adults who have emotional, I don't know how to describe it, but anyway, they train them of taking apart a computer. And so I'm making sure that everyone takes old computers, anything electronic over there, so that these folks get a chance to be trained. They end up walking away with a laptop.
Wonderful, and it doesn't end up in the landfill.
Right. And so that's Next Step Recycling, those people in the Eugene, Springfield area here. And if we could get a contact up in – you're in Portland or Seattle?
Portland.
Portland. Because they are looking at you know, extending the reach out into Portland, Seattle area. I would love to be the conduit to help, you know – let's bring it to a place where it will benefit and educate people.
Wonderful, because the only place I know here that does that is not the easiest place to work with. And, you know, if you're asking people to do charitable things, you want to make it easy for them.
Right. Well, this place is easy, and I'm sure if we had a bunch of stuff, I'm sure that they would drive a van up there and pick it up.
Ooh-ha.
Ooh-ha. All right, let's open up the lines if anyone out there is listening. And I know most people want to listen. You don't want to call in, but let's just break that habit now. Should we call in? You have the numbers on my website or on BBS Radio's website. You can call in. You can Skype in to BBS Radio. That's their Skype name. And we can do some sessions here. Just a quick hit on your month, your date, and your year. So I'm interested, while we're waiting for the people to call in the solar ray readings that you do.
Uh-huh.
So let's tell the folks out there what that, and of course they can interrupt us anytime. What is a solar ray session?
Well, you know, astrology has a lot of branches of astrology. It's just this gigantic science. And one of the branches of astrology is called esoteric astrology. So we're more interested in the growth and development of the soul and what's their spiritual service on the planet Earth. And there's this philosophy within esoteric astrology called the seven soul rays. And the idea is, you know, your planets, your, your sun in Scorpio, let's say, that's our little corner of the zodiac.
Right.
But on a and the person who made this famous was a lady named Alice Bailey of the 1940s and 50s, channeled a being called Dwakul. And
yes,
the idea was, is out of the oneness, whatever God, creation, whatever word people use for all that is, you want to make a person or a planet, you need to give the illusion of stepping that energy down from oneness into polarity. You know, yin-yang, masculine, feminine.
Right, right.
And so the ancient mystery school would say, we're going to shine that light, that white light of God oneness through some sort of a cosmic prism. And out the other side come seven different frequencies of vibration called the rays. And then the Alice Bailey material would say that comes from a place called the Great Central Sun and then comes into us through the Great Bear, or what we call the Big Dipper constellation. And then it would filter through your Scorpio and my Libra to give us an individual effect. So a person knowing what their rays are, I like to say that it helps them activate the, shall we call it their speed of soul service. So the people who are attracted to this are saying, gee, I'm here on planet Earth for more than paying my mortgage or working a 40-hour week. There's got to be more to life than this. And they recognize that they've come into a greater service. And so in this material, you know, every group has its own system and hierarchy. And in the Alice Bailey material, they call it the third initiation, which is that when a soul reaches a point that it knows that it's here to be of service, the personality or ego voice has to kind of take second fiddle so the fullness of the soul can come out, and then the personality helps the soul to do its mission. So we have some methods for calculating the rays a person was born on in this life, which then, and of course all of this will be at astromark.us at the website, but a person knowing, gee, this is what I've come to do, perhaps I can put more effort into that and not get caught up in the voice of my ego personality.
Excellent. And when you sent me the material, I didn't get a chance to print it out, but I read it a couple times, that I am the fifth ray. And it just makes so much sense to bring, you know, information from higher sources down onto the earthly plane. And
yeah, fifth ray is a teacher of teachers. They bring this higher esoteric information into a concrete, usable thing, so it's not out in woo-woo land.
Right. That's where my Virgo rising helps a lot.
Absolutely.
Right. And then with Hilarion and Raphael, both of them very, very familiar. And then what is the six? You said that I had something with a six.
The sixth ray, we use words like devotion and idealism. And it's the concept of, basically, we'd call that basic metaphysics 101. If you want to go create some aspect in your life, and I don't care if it's something mundane like a new job or a new relationship or maybe some new level of your soul service, sixth ray would say we need to not just write a post-it note affirmation, not just intellectual, but we need to see it, taste it, touch it, feel it, make it real in our mind's eye. And then what we're saying is we are making this real in the etheric realm and bringing it down to earth to work. And many people work too hard for what comes to them. The sixth ray would say, no, I'm going to partner up with creation, and then I will be magnetized, or in the book by the Kabbalah, it's called, by three initiates. It's Hermetic philosophy. They say that when you tune into this and you make it real in your mind's eye, you're polarized to it, and it manifests much easier than if you had struggled to get there.
Very good. So what number are you, which ray are you, if you don't mind sharing?
Sure. I actually was born with my soul and personality both on the seventh ray. And the seventh ray is transmutation, or if anyone's ever been drawn to the color purple, or really the Alice Bailey material would say that everybody has a little seventh ray in them, because it's the bringer of what we'll call the new age or a new paradigm to planet Earth. And so we use words like transmutation. So in the old days, alchemy was changing lead into gold. Well, this is an energy of I must take the lower frequency and get that frequency moving at a higher frequency of vibration to change the energy of yourself or the environments you're in. Actually, the seventh ray, which, of course, I was born on, but everybody has that, since that's the incoming energy. And many people are familiar with a master by the name of Saint Germain, or
yes,
an energy called the Violet Flame.
Yes.
That's all seventh ray. So if you're drawn to the color purple, you've probably got a little seventh ray in you somewhere.
I know. So what is the difference between the five? I mean, is there a five is a soul purpose, or six? Is there a difference between those two, or what?
In your case, five was your soul purpose and six was your personality.
Okay.
So on the personality level, we know you're learning to make your life easier by making it real rather than struggling to make it happen. And then once you're holding that higher vision, then that fifth ray kicks in on the soul level, and it says, okay, I'm going to take the vision that my personality was holding, and I am going to use a systematic way to bring it into the world so that it works. And, of course, the fifth ray also, you know, Hilarion and Raphael are well-known as healers.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And so some people go in a more scientific direction. Others go in a more healing direction with fifth ray energy.
Wonderful. Well, and my numerology, of course, is a five with the Aerophant.
Ah, very creative number, too.
Yes, very creative. And I have to make, like, my radio program, I want it to be creative and many components. Like, sometimes I'll bring in fact, I had malachite here as the stone that I was going to focus on, but it just didn't want to jump up. So next time.
When it's ready.
When it's ready, and I'm okay with that. It's when it's time, when popcorn is ready to pop, it pops.
That's exactly it, and we have to just, I know nobody likes to hear an astrologer say this, but sometimes we have to be patient with the process.
I know. Well, since no one seems to want to call in, they're listening, I know that. First of all, let's get your website out there, so in case someone wants to check this out, and I know they will, either on the archives, because many people check in on the archives from my program.
Absolutely. So the website would be www.astromark.us, astromark.us, and they can register for my free, I do a new and a full moon newsletter. If they go to the monthly astrology report page, I've got a quarterly newsletter where this issue I'm doing Leonardo DiCaprio with, you know, I do a form of astrology that helps people pick their power places for where they want to live or travel or vacation.
That.
And so with the, you know, they're re-releasing the movie Titanic.
Yes.
So I thought, well, I'll do Leonardo DiCaprio and show people his power lines, not only where he lives, but where the Titanic went down,
mm-hmm.
That he got to do that movie. And that's on the quarterly newsletter. And then also there's a lot of free PDF downloads. For example, there's a basic astrology primer. There's the zodiac signs of states and cities in the USA if they want to see, you know, what's the sign of the state they're in.
Nice.
Is there. So there's a lot of fun freebies. It's astromark.us. So thanks.
.us. Don't forget .us.
U.S.
Okay. All right, and you may want to have a session with Mark, and feel free to go to the website astromark.us. Well, let's go to some of the candidates. We've got about 4 minutes left, a little bit under. So what do you think about the Republican candidates that are vying for that position?
Well, what I've been looking at with Santorum is I thought that Santorum would be stay strong through May, early June, and then I felt like he would peter out. He's a Taurus. His sun is in Taurus, and right now Jupiter is in Taurus, which is kind of the god of blessings. And once that crosses over his sun, I think that'll be kind of the beginning of the end for him.
Okay.
And then with Gingrich, even though his chart doesn't look like a successful chart, but Jupiter, this expansive god I was talking about, is going to move into Gemini for everybody in June. And he has a lot of Gemini, which is, you know, Gemini's talk, talk, talk. So even though he's not really a viable candidate from an astrological perspective in this election, he's not going to be quiet, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And Ron Paul kind of was never really a player, astrologically speaking, in this election. And Romney, though, you know, has a lot of good things going on in his chart. You know, he's a Pisces, and he's got several planets in Pisces. And here is this Neptune visionary just moved into Pisces. And I will tell you that it's a little early for me to do my annual predictions. I usually wait till we know who the vice president is going to be. Because if you see success, you're going to see it in the president, the vice president, their spouses' charts. It should go throughout everybody's charts when they win. And I will tell you, this is going to be a tough election because it's a just looking at Romney versus Obama. If that's how it ends up playing out, I can see good and bad in both of them. And the thing that's really interesting is election day, Mercury turns retrograde
in November. Wow.
And the last time that happened was at the Bush-Gore election, Mercury turned retrograde. And we know what a mess that was.
Yes.
So I don't know if it will be the same, obviously the same kind of problems, but Mercury turning retrograde on election day certainly can lead to not knowing who won when we go to bed.
Well, we'll have to get you back on the program, and I'm surprised you don't have a radio program.
You know, it's more fun for you to do the work and me just be able to talk.
Yeah, I don't call this work. This is play.
Yeah. But, you know, there is a lot of organization on your part, and you are appreciated for putting it all together.
Thank you. Okay, well, we're just at the end of our program. And, Mark, thank you so much for the information on my solar ray. I do appreciate that and for sharing your gifts here on the radio.
Thank you. Blessings to everybody.
All right. Okay, and I'm going to close. I want to remind each and every one of you out there that who you are makes a difference. See you again tomorrow. I'll see you tomorrow talking about golf and spirituality.
You have been listening to the Good News Radio Program with Judith Conrad. To email Judith Conrad, go to judith@judithconradradio.com.